Kind Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the love and care. Thank you so much for Brother Hull's ideal and the plan that was set out, and for all those who have been students with us, the thousands that now are students that we do not know by name, by internet, that study the same material and learn the same practices in life. Bless our effort for good in this 49th year celebration, part 4, in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular brother.
Pardon? You heard from Ben?
Yes. He's coming on the way. He's 10:30 time. We have here opportunity to look at a man named James Boyd. James Boyd preached forever and a day. He's been up around McMinnville, Tennessee. And he recorded all of his radio sermons and recorded his sermons, as I do. Recorded the sermons that he did. That's why the variety of times are here. 29 minutes, who can be saved. 35 minutes on why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. 40 minutes on why do we not see the Bible alike. All those kind of questions of things. You can see some detailed studies in regard to this matter. The Holy Spirit work, talk about that on the basis of 39 minutes. But the one that I've chosen today is one here about youth of today and how important it is that this school program reaches out to the young people. And I teach our preachers far away from here how to work with young people, how to really care about the church of today and as well as tomorrow and the ideas of it. I want to start out this way, and then I'll share with you a DVD that I have of the same year, 2004. This was done on August the 15th, 2004. This is James Boyd.
Well, actually, all of life is time for preparing for eternity.
You hear this point he's making. Youth need to be prepared. And adults have neglected this part of preparing their youth for the future. How so? He talks about it a little bit further here, and it's really what we have paid attention to through the years in our family, and we try to teach others the same way.
But especially on the days of youth, a time to set your standards. Too many young people build ceilings over themselves while they're young, knowing what they ought to be. Even those young people that place their confidence sometimes prove to be a heartbreaking disappointment to them. The response to this awareness, there is often an inconsistency among young people.
This is the idea of the example. And the example being an example that will really not be filled with wearing a mask, hypocrisy. And how many young people are seeing people wear a mask in their adult family, as well as adult brothers and sisters, as well as church members? The way that they're simply talking a way of life, but not practicing a way of life. This is, he said, we always baptize people in the second week and the third week that we're just interested in the first week. That's Brother Peters. And Brother Peters' son, Jim, still over there at Coffeyville, part of the work over there and everything. But Brother Harry Peters was just absolutely as serious as he could be about what he was trying to do with us. Joey. Welcome. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
Oh, yes, sir. Good to be here and part of this. We led off today, not with you and everything, we led off with a recording of James Boyd about young people. And I wanted to hear, and that's a great idea, and we will practice that as we get to our youth day in February the 15th and 16th. We'll do that. But anyway, in this regard, we've got it available and quickly available for us. Now, what I want to do now is I want to go back to, let me see how I can get out of this. And this is WSOJ Gospel Radio. There I went down to James Boyd. You see that he got 1,736 presentations. When I clicked on his name and went to the first one, it says next 150. I had to go six or seven times before I got to the one I wanted, because every one is different. And 150, 150, another 150, it changes as you go along. but you will enjoy very much on your computer having WSOJ.net. It's not a .com like, or .education like we are, but .net, a network program, and it's for radio. And this brother up there has this radio station, and if you're riding around, you can get to it, and you can get to it real well. If they, let's see, that right here, 102 FM, and you can hear various ones speaking on it all the time, and songs that are played, and one thing and another. That's standard up in that area. But he has this available. The internet has been for years, and I love it so much. If you want to hear the voice of Bachelor Barrett Baxter, or George Bailey, who was part of the work out of Texas in regard to the what now?
I said wonderful life.
Yeah, but George Bailey, this George Bailey was the real George Bailey, and a gospel preacher. He was a wonderful guy. But he preached and taught on the Herald of Truth, originally, on the Herald of Truth broadcast. But good stuff that was done that there and everything. Let me get out of this now. All right. In order to get out of this and get into this right here, this is a DVD. And it's from the same year, 2004. And it sure manifests for us the idea that we want to have. All right. Now then, it's loading up. Found ourselves in these learning centers having opportunity to have travel, classroom teaching, illustrations that were done, paperwork and paintings that were done, had opportunity to have a hall monitor that was there. My dad was there, as well as R.V. Robson Jr., as well as Mr. Doyle Ridgway. Mr. Doyle Ridgway, by the way, was converted as a result of going to a fair. And the church, we had a group of folks there offering Bible lessons, Bible study, free Bible studies and things like that. And this man named Doyle Ridgway walked up. And he said, "I'd like to study the Bible with someone that wouldn't just fuss and argue with me if I made a mistake." And Brother Taylor said to him, "You got him. Let's help our studies together." And that's what happened. Led to home Bible studies with him and his wife. They both were converted, both baptized into Christ. He became an integral part of the church there and activities at 75 years of age. He did a great job with this Vacation Bible School being a hall monitor, as it turned out. What a blessing we had in that. In regard to our final things about the puppets, they really had an influence on good for the people. And as a result of that, we found that words of prayer from young people, among young people, made a world of difference with how much they prayed themselves and enjoyed this. This last part of the video is in regard to our Wednesday night program. And on that Wednesday night program, we had all the young people come up and stand on stage and come back for the Wednesday night. The older ones in the back, the young ones in the middle, and down on the front. And they sang the Bible school songs and all. If I can show you the whole auditorium of that. Show you all the adults that sat in the back of the auditorium, and the young people sat in the front, and we had the better part of 200 folks there on Wednesday night. Commonly, we didn't have that. But they came for this, and they were part of it. And the emphasis on the Helping Hand Center was a benefit to us all. 400 people, please, let's sing together for the benefit of our internet folks along the way who may listen to this. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit
all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, perfect Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Lord, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
What a blessing. What a blessing. For the half brother being with us, as mentioned to you prior, on your particular timeline, you'll notice the year in which we had Bob McCree, his dad, to go to India. When he went to India, he took the Training School for Better Service program with him to India. Made a measurable contribution to the work that they were doing there in India. And this is Ben McCree.
Christian education. Brother Robert contacted me and said, please, if you will, come and speak on your experience in Christian education, your journey to furthering your studies and becoming a preacher. And so I have prepared the lesson today to speak on that. But before we get more in depth on the topic, I have to begin in mentioning what a privilege it is as well to take part in the school's opening with Brother Robert. He has stepped out for the moment, but I will continue on in stating that I have sincere respect for Brother Robert. The name Robert Rawson was well known in my household as growing up when I was younger, very well known. Brother Robert had a great impact upon my family. He encouraged many members of my family, and the time that was spent with Brother Robert was deeply cherished by all. He may not realize this, but he has directly been pivotal in the training and also the placement of two generations of gospel preachers that are striving to further the work of the kingdom with congregations of the Lord's church and doing full-time work in ministry. As he mentioned earlier, my father, the late Bob McRae of Rubel, Mississippi, was one of the first students to go through the training the efforts of the Training School for Better Service, and I believe Robert Rawson refers to them as the Fab Four. He was one of those four, and I can remember my father speaking about his training experience at the hand of Brother Robert Rawson and training in public speaking, and that Brother Robert would select a young man to get up behind the pulpit or to get behind the podium, and whatever the situation may be, whether they were in the auditorium or whether they were in a classroom, Brother Robert, I remember my father saying this, Brother Robert would walk around closing doors and dropping song books and making all kind of oddball noises to try to train these young preacher students to overcome distractions in their public speaking. A few years later, after my father attended Magnolia Bible College, which is now reopened as Magnolia Bible Institute in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, and after he left and went to Henderson, Tennessee and attended Free Harbor University, Brother Robert actually performed the wedding ceremony of my mother and my father. It was not long after being married, in my understanding and memory serves me, as my father has told me in the past, that after they were married, he accepted the associate minister position at Batesville. And actually, for a few years, if I'm not mistaken, worked alongside Brother Robert. And so, Brother Robert knows very well my parents, he knows my grandparents very well, and other members of my family very well, all of whom have always respected the fine Christian man and leader he has always been. And so understanding this great history, the lineage of history, if you will, between my family and Brother Robert, rightfully so, I contacted Brother Robert upon contemplating my personal Christian education. I reached out to Brother Robert and told him I'm seriously praying about and contemplating becoming a gospel preacher. And I sought his advice and leaned upon his seasoned experience. It was at the age of 13 that I actually preached my first gospel sermon. It was located at Mason, Texas, where I was part of a young men's service training class that was brought together by my father as he was the preacher for the congregation there. And now, thinking about it and looking back, I'm pretty sure that some of the techniques and the training ways that my father imposed upon the young men involved in this class were the same as what Brother Robert Rawson did with the Fab Four back in Rubel, Mississippi, because I can distinctly remember my father dropping a songbook or two on the wood floor in the auditorium. And so I've always gotten a kick out of that and certainly enjoy the time that was spent in preaching and preparing for that first sermon at the age of 13. You see, growing up in the church, I was not unaccustomed to leading singing. My mother, I believe to this day, has a VHS tape, outdated this day and time, but the old cassette tapes, VCR tapes of me at 5 years old leading a song up on the stage by the pulpit. And so I was not unaccustomed to serving in various ways, but yet preaching's a whole different animal. Preaching's a whole different thing. Only just a handful of more times did I ever brave the pulpit up until recent years. At the age of 17, I entered into the military. I made the decision at the time that is what I wanted, and that's what I needed to do, and so I would go on to serve for 13 more years in the military before deciding that I would exit the service. During my last year in the reserves, I, as I mentioned earlier, had began to think about, pray about, and contemplate on preaching the gospel. Now, being in the military in the years that I'd spent there had definitely brought about learning and discipline, and definitely had presented many challenges, and this would prepare me for pursuing Christian education. My last year in the service was actually 2016. It was also this year, in April of 2016, that my grandfather passed away. Brother Robert Rawson and Miss Jane attended the funeral. And Brother Robert Rawson may not remember this, but upon the ending of the funeral and everybody meeting in the foyer there at the funeral home, and before he exited the door, we shook hands and said hello and good to see you and thank you for coming. And Brother Robert hands me a card. And I, to be honest with you, didn't look too in-depth at the card, but I noticed it was about the size of a business card. And glancing at it very briefly, I noticed on one side was a calendar, which I thought, well, that's very handy. And on the other side, I flipped it over and it said, Training School for Better Service. And on below that title, it had contact information and it also had the website address. And so I took this card that Brother Robert gave me and I put it in the pocket of my suit jacket that I was wearing, and I took it home with me. Didn't really think much about it, but I took it out once I was home and I placed it on top of my dresser. And to be honest with you, it sat there for about a month. Until one day I was cleaning and I came across that card again. Now all this time I have been thinking about, as I said, praying about and contemplating on preaching the gospel. Is this in fact what I want to do? Is this what I need to do? Am I prepared to do this? And so I come across this card, and it just so happens that a few days earlier I was talking to a childhood friend of mine, Brother Dustin McCricker, who is currently also a gospel preacher, lives in Kennewick, Washington, and preaches for the Kennewick Church of Christ there. And I've been talking with him extensively, and he had been encouraging me, you need to preach the Word of God. The field is white for harvest. We need great preachers that are getting out and preaching truth. And so looking at the card and thinking about the conversation that I had had with Dustin, I pulled the card out and I sat down at the computer. And to be honest with you, I do not believe that I went to sleep until about 5 a.m. the next morning. I looked through the material, I searched through the material, I studied with the material, I looked through the plethora of information that was on the website, and by the time that I decided to call it a night, I had made the decision and convinced myself that I wanted to preach the gospel. I wanted to preach God's word to lost souls. I wanted to proclaim the good news. I was ready to embrace the pulpit the next day. And I'm glad I didn't. I wasn't ready. See, in the back of my mind, I could hear my dad and having that training class with us at a younger age and telling us as you know, young possible preacher students, talking about the importance of study. And my dad always had little quick lines that he would throw out throughout his preaching and teaching, and also growing up, I heard these all the time, but one of those resounded in the back of my mind, you better study, buddy, or you'll be a fuddy-duddy. And that was in the back of my mind when I was thinking about pursuing preaching. And I knew that in-depth study needed to be had. You see, there was no direct revelation that I was going to receive as Paul did in Galatians 1:12, Ephesians 3:3-5. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to take the Word of God, my Bible, and put it underneath my head and my pillow and obtain the information through osmosis. That wasn't going to happen. I realized that at that time I was not exactly ready. I was not prepared. The next day, though, brought about more study. I believe I slept for about 3 hours because I was eager to wake up and get back into the information that I found on the website. And through more prayer, through more study, through searching of the heart and asking, is this what I wanted to do? I was reminded of a passage and I turned to it. I'm going to read it for you. It comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. And at this point in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes who have been following him as he journeyed toward Jerusalem. And Scripture says he turns around to them and he says in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now obviously, throughout my life, I've come across this passage numerous times. I realized and understood correctly throughout my past that there is a high cost associated with being a Christian, with being a follower of Christ. Thinking about the great responsibility of being a Christian, of being a steward, as the scriptures talk about in Luke 12, 42 through 49. Also, I was reminded of Colossians 3:17, where it says, in everything we do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And so contemplating all of these passages, I began to ask myself, am I ready? I began to count the cost, the things that I was going to have to sacrifice, the understanding of the in-depth study, the time, the family time that was going to be given to preaching the Word of God. And this definitely hit home in considering and preaching truth. Then I came across James 3:1. All this while studying this great information that I found on the website and opening up God's Word. James says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, this verse is not discouraging to those who want to become teachers and preachers. No, no. James here is talking about the untamable tongue. And so the warning is, be mindful. Be mindful that you should stay aware not to become a false teacher with an untamable tongue. And so I was then, as I am now, striving to stay aware that I did not misspeak, knowing that there was a great responsibility that would rest upon my shoulders, teaching and preaching the gospel. And understanding this great responsibility that rests upon those proclaiming the good news, I felt at the time I needed to devote more time to study. And study I did. I leaned upon the material from the website, as I said, of the school, and began researching. I began buying commentaries. I asked my grandmother, as I said, my grandfather had passed away at the time, but I asked my grandmother, can I inherit my grandfather's set of gospel advocate commentaries? I began opening up God's Word and studying like I never had before. I truly had a desire, burning in my bones like Jeremiah to preach the Word, a desire that only over time has increased. My studying continued up until July 2017, and by this time I knew that I wanted to attend formal training, if you will, at the university or college level. And realizing that I had the opportunity to attend tuition-free because of my time in the military, on lunch break one day I stepped outside of the company where I was working as a manager, and I picked up my cell phone and I called my loving and caring and supportive wife, and I said, honey, I'm resigning and we're moving to Henderson. And I was met with silence. And then my wife, being the loving Christian woman that she is and supportive, she said, well, honey, if that's what you want to do, I'll support you and follow you. Now, I need to point out, this was 1 week before classes started at Free Harbor. In 1 week's time, we packed up our home. We found a house in Henderson to rent. And we moved to Henderson. And during that 1 week's time, I was not late 1 second to begin classes at Fred Hardeman University. I'm currently in my last year of school and will be set to graduate this fall with a B.S. in Bible ministry. Not only did Brother Robert spark my interest by way of the school card he gave me at the funeral, he also contacted me while I was in Henderson to inform me of the fine brethren that were located at Coffeyville, Mississippi, and said, I know of a congregation here in North Mississippi. If you're looking to do some fill-in work, they're seeking someone to fill in. And oh, by the way, they're hiring as well. They're looking to fill a full-time position for preacher of the congregation. Hey. For a preacher student, those are words of gold. So I immediately contacted Coffeyville, contacted the men there and said, I'm up here at Free Hardeman and I have been preaching part-time, unpaid for a congregation outside of Henderson, a very small congregation, out in the country, out in the middle of nowhere. And they do have a preacher, but he has given me the platform to hone my skills in preaching and public speaking And I'm very grateful for that, but I'm willing to come down and do some fill-in work, and I'm also interested in the position that you're hiring for. And they said, well, come on. And so I came to Coffeyville, and I preached my first sermon on April 1st of 2018, and by April the 22nd, I believe it was, the decision was made by the men and my family that we would begin to work at Coffeyville. The question I asked myself the night of studying so late the material on the school's website and the next day was, am I ready? There was no doubt, as I said, I had the burning, the fire burning in my bones like Jeremiah 29 that we see. And as I stated, I saw the need for development and improvement before systematically being able to present a lesson from God's Word that could be understood in the audience from ages 5 to 95. And it is true, as we see in John 4:35, the fields are white for harvest. In this day and time, statistics are growing ever higher of people who are claiming to be quote-unquote non-religious and sin. Sin is impacting society and the church now more than ever because the efforts of sin are becoming more proactive, and sadly the efforts of proclaiming truth in some areas are becoming more inactive. And this is idleness. Idleness in the church by way of leadership, idleness in the church by way of activity, idleness in the church by way of truth being proclaimed is breeding the mediocre mindset, thereby opening up the door for unsound doctrine to be preached. And brethren, I cannot be idle. You cannot be idle. We as Christians cannot be idle. We need to equip ourselves with the tools necessary to brave the Bible class, to brave the pulpit, to brave the mission fields, to brave the communities and boldly proclaim God's truth. There are schools which can aid in our learning, in the processes and the trainings that can equip us to do this. Schools such as the one that we're talking about today, the training school for better what service. Schools like some at the university level, which challenge our minds even further. These schools are operated by faithful, loving, and caring brethren who seek nothing more than to see the work of the kingdom expand, and then loving the students by which they oversee and the individuals by which they fervently teach, they pass along great biblical wisdom and experience to spread the gospel. These schools that we're talking about that offer Christian education are laying and have laid great foundations for great gospel preachers, Bible class teachers, elders, deacons, and Christians all the same. We need to continue our support and encouragement of these efforts and share in the passion to produce preachers and teachers who are, in fact, the tomorrow of the church. We need to extend a helping hand to ensure the sound biblical teaching endures the winds of change in society and the Lord's church. We can look all around us and see it each and every day. We must extend a helping hand to ensure that we have confident and competent preachers and teachers of God's Word. Those who are willing to get up and boast in the Lord and raise His banner for others to see. Isaiah 13:2. Students of the Bible, we need to take advantage of the vast experience, the wisdom that is offered to us, the teaching that is offered to us in Christian education. Students can do just that by looking to schools such as a training school for better service. And so when I ask the question today, am I ready? I am. Because Paul charges Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 2-5, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. I am ready. The question is, are you, the ones listening to this recording this morning, ask yourself, am I ready? I lean upon the patterns, the techniques, and the knowledge gained through the website of the Training School of Better Service and the formal training that I have received at the college level each and every day, working in ministry full time. You too can and must be ready. Take advantage of the fine training available today, and as Paul told Timothy, preach the word. I'd like to conclude by stating, may God bless the efforts of preachers and teachers such as Brother Robert, who are encouraging and equipping so many in the Lord's church. May God bless the efforts such as you, supporting this work, that it may continue to grow and edify many Christians. I'd like to close with stating the words of our Lord and Savior, Matthew 28:19-20. When he has reappeared after he has ascended, he comes again to the disciples and he states an important word that we need to lay focus on. Go. Go, therefore. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, if you want to. It's a command. To go, therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, doing what? Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. Brethren, and those who hear this recording this morning, let us strongly heed the command of our Lord Jesus Christ and go teach and baptize. Let us be soul winners for the Lord. Let us be the faithful stewards that the Lord finds so doing when he returns. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you for your time this morning.
Amen. Can you preach?
Yes.
Lord bless you. We're at the Psalm 408, right across the page, 409. We'll close out with that and have a word of prayer together. Brother Bill, if you will. 409. Oh, verses 1 and 2. Oh, think of the home over there, by the side of the river of life. Oh, the promissory portal and fair are robed in their garments so white. Over there, oh, thank God the home over there, over there. Of the friends over there, who before us the journey have trod, of the songs that they breathe on the air, in their home in the palace of God. Over there, over there, oh, think of the home.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day that we can gather together to not only celebrate school of better service, but to celebrate you and what you've done for us. Father, we're grateful for Robert and his efforts, not only preaching here, but also for his dedication to the school. We're grateful for all of the good things that have come out of the school, for the encouragement to the men that want to be better, not only Christians, but better preachers and better servants. We pray that much good can come out of the school for this year. Yep. We're grateful for the efforts that's been put in for the 49 years. We're thankful for Brother Ben as he has come to us this day. We pray for his efforts and for his success. And Father, we pray that you'll be with him, that he'll have a long life of service to you. Bless his church as it strives to do your will. Give us the courage, and Father, help us to study for the knowledge that we need to convince those round about us that this is a true and living way of life. Bless us as we leave this place. We ask for safe passage, and Father, may we have a good day and a good week. And may our service be with you in our lives every day. Thank you so much for the blessings. Thank you so much for your Son, because it is through him that all of these things are possible. Thank you for your love. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.